This is Darren Kuhn with the Masculine Journey podcast, where we search the ancient paths to find ways that God brings light into a dark world and helps set men free from the struggles that we all face on a day-to-day basis. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
Welcome to Truth Talk Live.
All right, let's talk.
The truth is, I can't hide it. I can hold it in no more.
A daily program powered by the Truth Network.
This is kind of a great thing, and I'll tell you why.
Where pop culture, current events, and theology all come together.
Speak your mind.
And now, here's today's Truth Talk Live host.
It is Wednesday in the Word, and we got a question for you. Why? Why did Jesus send the disciples out two by two? Why did he send them out that way? Why didn't he send them out? You know, obviously divide and conquer. He could have sent out to a lot more people if he didn't send them out two by two. What is your thoughts on that subject? And maybe along those lines, you have a story where you went out two by two or some chance that you've had ministry where you did it with somebody else, like I am right this minute. Like right this minute, I'm two by two because it's me and Dr. Carson with Date the Word. And so my good friend. But why do you think Jesus did that? We would love to hear from you. 866-348-7884. 866, if you're digitally gifted, you can do this with your phone. 866-34-TRUTH. Just try it. You know, it'd be fun. You can see the letters are still down there below the numbers, even on an iPhone if you look carefully.
That's right.
866-348-7884. And so you might know that Wednesday in the Word, we've been in the book of Mark, and we're in chapter 6. And so we get to Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. So, Doc.
Yeah. How you doing, Robbie?
I'm doing great. I love to hear God's Word, and how excited to hear it from you this morning.
Yes.
This evening.
This afternoon. Here we go. Mark chapter 6. Verse 7 starts us out, and he called the 12 to himself, and he began to send them out two by two, and he gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Also, he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that the people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Verse 30, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. This is God's word, and we see it as a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path.
Oh, yeah, and we have visual. For those of you watching us streaming on Facebook or YouTube, you know, Doc brought visual aids. So we got lamps and candles and all sorts of stuff we're going to talk about, but you know, clearly, they found themselves in the same boat, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, that's the deal. Two by two. Why do you think that was so critical? We would love your thoughts. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. And along those lines, you may have a story of when you went out two by two. So I happen to have one. I am pastoring it an opportunity to kind of be the maybe interim. I'm not exactly sure my role other than I am the pastor right now at West Ashboro Baptist Church, and I certainly am preaching. And so it was Doc and I were talking about a way that, you know, we could try to get more people to come to the church. And yep. You talked about that Dr. Falwell would go out and just literally knock on doors, especially this time of year, invite people, because a lot of people don't have some place to celebrate Easter.
That's right.
And so I thought, well, how fun. I'm going to go knock on doors like Dr. Falwell with my own legal pad and ask people how I could pray for them. I felt like, you know, if Jerry could do it, I can do it, you know? And how fun, because I'd never done anything like that.
Yeah.
And so I knew, you know, based on this passage, I better have somebody with me. So I prayed about that. And there's a man that goes to our church by the name of Willie, and he is the most delightful man. And just, you know, like if you're going to go out with somebody and you get to pick your own guy, you know, I'm going to pick Willie, you know? So, you know, I don't know that I've knocked on doors. You know, they used to have back when I was a kid, that, you know, in the back of the comic books, you know, if you sold these seeds, you could get really cool army men. Or
oh, yeah, yes.
So I'm pretty sure the last time that I knocked on doors, because believe it or not, when we sold cars, I never knocked on doors, Doc.
Oh, you waited for them to come to you.
That's right. And so I, you know, hadn't done that since I was a kid, you know, and it's pretty intimidating. You know, you come up to this door, but the good news is I brought Willie.
Now, were you praying nobody would be home? Tell the truth. I have prayed that as I went to knock on the door. Lord, let nobody be home. And then the door, someone opens the door.
And it's creaking. But the original problem was like, you know, so I thought, well, you know, I'm the pastor. I should knock on the door. You know, that's the least I could do. And I said, okay, Willie, you pray. I'm going to see what I can do here. And so, you know, I get up there and I just kind of knock like, you know, a wimp. And so, you know, Willie's watching this shenanigan. But the people do come to the door. We talk to him, ask where you pray. It was really fun.
Yeah,
you know, once they opened the door and the people actually, and sometimes they weren't actually, you know, so nice. But it was still fun because I had Willie there. You know, it was just, you know, to me, it was sharing the experience, right? But the next door, you know, I get up there and Willie said, well, let me handle the knocking.
He didn't think you knocked right.
I said, okay, man, from now on, you're the head knocker. I'm just saying. And Willie, man, he steps up, and I didn't know he worked for the city of High Point or something along those lines. So sometimes that's his job to knock on doors, man.
Okay.
And when he knocks on a door, buddy, you think it's the police. And he was like, boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, okay, knock with authority. Like, you're supposed to come to the door. We don't want to invite you to Easter. And, you know, the neat thing is we were in these apartment complexes that were, you know, right behind the church. Mm. And, you know, you knock on these doors and, you know, Sunday afternoon, some of these people are doing what I would be doing Sunday afternoon.
Taking a nap. And he knocked so loud, he woke the dead.
How about you? What's your story? Or why do you think Jesus sent him out? 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be back with a whole much more Wednesday in the Word. Stay tuned.
Truth Talk Live.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. Today we are Wednesdaying in the wording, and we have got a question for you. Why did Jesus send, when he sent them out in Mark chapter 6, he sent out the disciples, and he sent them out two by two? And what are your thoughts on why exactly he did that? Or maybe you got a story of two by two yourself, or as the case we were talking during the break, I heard a one by one. What happened when... So I haven't even heard. You were in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Oh, let me tell them first a number to call in and share. That,
yes,
I should
please
do that. 866-348. It's toll free, by the way. 866-348-7884. So, you know, it's wide open. So give us a call. We want to hear from you. But so why were you in Las Vegas?
Well, when I started college, went to Crystal Bible College in Dallas, Texas, and had not been there very long in the fall of 1982 when an announcement was made that one of our professors was going to go out to Las Vegas to lead a January Bible study and wanted to know if some of us would sign up and go out there with him and during the day, we would knock on doors and invite people to come to this church. Unfortunately, I don't remember the name of the church right now, but we were going to help this church survey the surroundings and talk to people and invite them to come to that Bible study.
It was the Church of Christ. The Church of the Holy Rollers.
Yes, the Holy Rollers.
Just kidding.
So that's why in the January of 1983, I rang in the new year in Las Vegas, and we started every morning and afternoon. We would go out and knock on doors. And every now and then, as I was kind of joking with you, I'd pray, Lord, I hope no one's home.
Right, right. Well, I'm 68 years old. You know, I'm out there knocking on doors a couple Sundays ago. And it didn't hurt my feelings when nobody came to the door. Sometimes a big dog came to the door and you heard that, you know. And it's easy enough to say you're going to go do this. But when you go do it, it's another whole thing altogether.
And you end up having great experiences. I had some people, we did get to lead to the Lord, but... I have one where I met, we were invited to the home, and so I'm sharing the gospel, and this man said, son, I don't need Jesus. I'm not a sinner. Well, in the corner of my eye, I could see his wife rolling her eyes, and I said, well, sir, let me ask your wife. Let me see what she thinks about your comment, you're not a sinner. And boy, she let him have it. But I was telling you how we were going out two by two, and as we were wrapping up one afternoon, I saw a car pull into a driveway, and I said, hang on, guys, hang on. Let me go witness to this lady real quickly. So I went by myself, and I walked up real fast, and I said, ma'am, could I have just a moment of your time? I'd like to tell you about my Lord and Savior. She, within, a minute, turned the conversation because she was a Jehovah's Witness, and she began to quote scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture that now I know are all out of context. And I knew when she was saying them, it was not correct, but I didn't know how to defend my faith. And Robbie, it was one of my worst moments that became one of my best moments, because as I walked away that day not knowing how to defend my faith, I'm a brand new college student, okay? I've only finished one semester of Bible college. I don't know that I don't know, but now I know I don't know. This lady whooped me. And as I walked back to the car, I'm thinking, Lord, forgive me. I'm never going to let that happen again. I will be sharp with the word so that I can defend the faith. And it really enhanced my Bible study for the next semester. But I was by myself. And as we talk about going out two by two, one of the important things of it is you have that person who is encouraging you, that is your prayer partner, but also as they're listening to the conversation, there comes that moment where they can engage, because God will be bringing to their minds when they hear something that's incorrect. Sometimes when you're right in the conversation, you're not able to thoroughly think through. But that other person who's listening can say, ma'am, sir, we need to look at scripture this way for a second. Let me counter that. Let me share with you, this is how we see scripture. And that's why you need that second person. They're there to encourage you, but also give support. And you give the support.
Yeah, and for me and Willie, you know, I probably would have stopped about 15, 20 doors before, you know, because you just don't, you know, you don't have that encouragement that you, when you have somebody else, like, it gives you a lot of different things. But there's a lot of other cool answers, and I know you're thinking of one that you want to share. And so please call us. We would love to hear from you, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. Why did Jesus send them out two by two? And maybe you have a two by two story, ministry story, that you would love to share.
A great soul-winning story that would just encourage all of us as listeners.
Right, right, right. And the, you know, somebody else that's thinking about, wow, I could go invite people to my church this, you know, Easter, because when you really think about it, how many people out there, they only go to church at Easter, this is when they think they should, or they're feeling like, here's my moment, but man, I don't know where to go.
Well, someone did research on this, on why a person will come to church, and there's advertisements, okay? There's all these other ways that we try to encourage people, but it comes down to the number one reason a person will come to a church for the first time is because a friend invited them. A friend invited them. And I said it last week, there needs to be right now people you're thinking about, who do I want to invite to Easter service on March the 31st? Who do I want to see sitting under the preaching of the gospel, hearing the greatest story ever told, that our Savior died, but he also rose again, victorious, and he offers the gift of eternal life, Robbie.
Absolutely, and when you really think about it, you know, they always, you know, anybody that's not going to church on Sunday always has a little tinge of like, I'm not where I ought to be.
Mm.
But Easter Sunday,
big time.
They know it's coming, that, man, I need to, you know, I need someplace to go worship on that day. Yeah. And they're looking and they're thinking, like, where might that be? And what an opportunity you have to truly be that friend.
Yeah. You've got friends out there. You've got relatives out there. You've got associates out there. You got neighbors out there that need to be invited. They need to be invited to come and see, come and hear this great gospel that we have.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, maybe they just want to buy an Easter dress. You know, let the world entice them however it works, you know. But if they're there, God, you know, can touch them. And obviously, you know, there's all sorts of opportunities. So we would love your stories, your thoughts on this whole idea. But we got more to talk about. We got other questions, like, why didn't Dwayne shake the dust off his feet after he talked to that Jehovah's Witness? How about that one? 866-348-7884. We'll be right back with a whole lot more.
Truth Talk Live.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. Today we are Wednesday in the Wording with Dr. Carson and myself, and we are in Mark chapter 6 and asking the question, why did Jesus send them out, in your opinion? Why did Jesus send them out two by two? And maybe you got a story of when you went two by two on a mission trip, or you went out door to door, or however that worked in ministry, that you had a chance to share the experience. I can just tell you on the radio, having done this for years and years, that if you're in the studio by yourself, you know, you better be prepared to laugh at your own jokes. I've always said that. And you may notice I don't have a huge problem with that. But nonetheless, if you're by yourself, it's a whole different experience. Believe me, anybody's ever done it, as compared to having a partner or somebody that's looking over there encouraging you and all that kind of stuff. But what are your thoughts? 866-348-7884. So Stu is so diligent to do these Wednesday in the Words at Dario's all over North Carolina, and he does this whole one page with the scripture and these questions. And so his next question that he had here for everybody this morning was, how come he had them travel so lightly? And so, Dr. Carson, you have a story about that.
Well, you know, as soldiers, you have to pack lightly. You only carry the essentials. And as we talked this morning, there's those components where if you've got all this other baggage, you can't move quickly. You're focused on, well, did I leave this? Did I get this? Have I got all this stuff with me? And stuff just piles up. And so Jesus is teaching them, you don't need all that stuff. You just need to go out. He's going to take care of them. And I did. I had a situation years ago when we were living in Columbus, Ohio, moved into a house, and the people there had left this floor-to-ceiling mirror. Well, we didn't want it. Well, some friends were over, and I looked at them, and I said, hey, you want that for your house? And the wife, yes! And the husband said, honey, we're in the army. Now, if we get called tomorrow to move to another state, to another country, what are we going to do with that? We have to stay light. And it's always been a great reminder to me that as we go about our assignment for Jesus, that soldier, you go to Hebrews chapter 12, we lay aside. We don't need all those weights.
Or David when he didn't take on Saul's armor, right? And he, all he needed was five smooth stones. You know, there. There's a whole lot of stuff in there. So, I love that one. So moving on to the question that I asked right before the break, why didn't or should have Dr. Carson shaken the dust off his feet after that Jehovah's Witness gave him a whooping in his own words? So what's up with the dust off the feet? Maybe you got an answer for that one. We would love your call. Certainly would. 866, or maybe you got a question about all this. We would love to help you. 866-348-7884. Maybe I should say God would love to help you, and hopefully you can help all our listeners along the way, because I bet you if you have that question, most of us sitting out here probably have that same question. Like, I had never thought about that. No, there's no such thing, is there, Doc? About a question that isn't just valid as it can be. So,
what does it
mean? The dust off the feet, this is where Robbie's mind goes immediately when I heard this. I didn't mention it this morning, so I'll just try it out on you, Doc. So, you might remember that Adam was made from this stuff.
Right.
And in fact, in Hebrew, it's Adama. And so it sounds very similar because the color of it is somewhat red. And so the idea of dust and Adam, and there's that psalm, we are but dust.
We are but dust.
And so
dust we will return.
Right. Right. And so when you think about it, that, if you've got death in the pot, so to speak, right, that here you have someone that's literally, if they have no interest in the gospel, they have no interest in Jesus, right? And so, infections they spread, right? That the cells in our own bodies begin to deteriorate, and that dust, guess what that is? That's the stuff that Satan eats, according to what I read in Genesis, right?
That's right. That's right.
It's Satan food. And so I liked what somebody said this morning. You talked about, taking a spiritual shower. Like, man, we need to get this, we need to pray this stuff off of us if we've been, and that one pastor talked about that.
Yes.
That, sometimes he would counsel somebody or whatever, and you gotta pray all that stuff off, because believe me, everything that you touch has its effect.
Yeah. Can have a bad effect on you. And when a person is absolutely against the gospel, they become not only against the gospel, but promoting a false gospel. That's where Jesus said, you shake the dust off. Don't cast your pearls before swine. That's another difficult statement. But there comes a time where we are life to those who believe, but we are the savor of death to those who don't believe. And there comes that point when you're working with a person, you have to walk away. And he gives a visual of shake off the dust. You've got to leave them alone. Now, that doesn't mean someone else may not come along later on and witness to them. We know people do get saved later in life, but there comes a point you just can't keep trying to cram the gospel down their throat. They're against it, and they may be trying to now convince you to turn from Christ, to get something false implanted in your mind. And that's one of the things that pastor was talking about today. Someone will start telling you things that are not true. Now, you've got to clean that up yourself.
Right, which is exactly what, when you think about it, is you're walking away from that Jehovah's Witness that day.
Yep.
Right?
There came a time I had to walk away.
There was not only, obviously, a physical discussion between the two of you, but there was a lot going on in the spiritual realm. It's like, oh, man, this Dr. Carson, he he's a force to be reckoned with. Let's put him in his place now so he'll keep hiding.
Yeah.
Right? And never want to come out from underneath that rock. And all the stuff that she had going on with her, now is free to continue to kick your butt with all the, and you know what it's like. And any pastor that's ever preached a sermon knows what it's like. as you step away from the pulpit, why didn't I say that? What was I thinking? I forgot God, you'd put it on my heart to say this. Mm. And I didn't say that. And you know, that's why Andy always says it's so important to go encourage your pastor or whatever, because believe me,
yes,
you have all these things that are going on that people can help you shake the dust off your feet, because we struggle with stuff like that, right?
Yep. And on our next segment, we're going to talk about how do we help our pastors, because Jesus did say to his disciples, come apart and rest. After they had been out there witnessing, calling people to repent, doing miracles, but also speaking clearly, Jesus is the right way, the only way. Well, they've come back, and he could tell. Jesus could tell his disciples needed rest, and I would be interested if someone would give a call in and tell how, as a pastor, if you're a pastor living, how do you do a Sabbath? How do you rest? How do you refresh? And as a church member, how do you help your pastor to make sure he is fresh? That'll be in the next segment to think about.
Absolutely. But getting back for a minute to the, you know, dusty situation over here.
Yes,
the dusty. So I've often thought Adam's name could have been, you know, in English, rather than translated Adam, his name should have been Dusty.
Dusty. Anyway. Nick, I didn't see that one coming.
But anyway, because the thing that somebody else brought up this morning, I think it's a very, very, very relevant thing, that when you're spending all that time trying to convince this person that has no interest, you could be spending that time, you know. And I think about just me and Willie going out a few Sundays ago, and you know, we knocked on some doors, but there were some people that were not, they gave you, you could tell by their body language and everything that they were doing.
Listening.
Yeah, right. And so you could spend a lot of time if you wanted to digging into that well that's got no water in it.
That's right.
Or
good analogy.
You could say thank you or appreciate your time and move on to the next door where there's a sweet young lady or a sweet man, you know, that is, oh, I didn't even know there was a church over there. Really? You have a service on, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they have some interest. Yeah. And other ones were just, you know, oh, I have a church where I go worship, but, you know, I didn't know there was, you know. And again, you're just sharing information.
That's all you're doing. Yep.
And creating some type of a mental, like when people think about your church, if they've met somebody from your church, chances are that's their opinion of that church. You know what I'm saying?
True. That's very true.
So to an extent, you're that ambassador, right? And you know that saying, I love it, that you know, blessed are the feet or those who bring good news.
Yes.
Well, in those days, the good news runners, right?
They were kicking up dust.
When you saw them coming, you could tell by the look on their face, did they have good news or bad news?
Yeah.
Right? And so when you're knocking on that door,
have a smile, because you've got good news.
All right, we're going to get to the Sabbath now. We're coming up the fourth segment. We need to hear from you. 866-348-7884. We'll be right back. Wednesday in the
Truth
Word.
Talk Live.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
How fun today. We are Wednesday in the Wording here on
Wednesday
Truth Talk.
Wednesday in the Wording.
Tuesday. I mean, Wednesday is a special day for Stu and the Word, and always there at the Dario's all over the state at 8 o'clock in the morning, just spectacular. And they have this question. I think it's a spectacular question, and I think there's lots of wonderful answers. Why did Jesus send them out 2 by 2? We'd love your thoughts on that. 866-348-7884. And I certainly thought of all the answers I heard, which it was just spectacular to hear all the wonderful godly people responding this morning, was that, you know, it takes two witnesses.
Yeah.
And so there's just...
That's confirmation. Old Testament confirmation. Two witnesses.
Right. And so, you know, you're standing there with somebody that, you know... And actually, if I'm answering the door and there's two people there versus one person, it's a little less frightening.
Yes. And then there's accountability, because sometimes when you're by yourself, temptation has a greater way of showing up.
That's right.
And you were looking to do good, and all of a sudden temptation, and now you end up doing something bad.
Yeah, Satan's right around the corner. So what are your thoughts? And maybe you got something else in Mark 6 that you would like to ask. We would love to at least have that conversation with you. 866-348, the number to call in, that is. 866-348-7884. And the last section and the last question that certainly we're excited to talk about is this last verses where he said, you know, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. Mm. And the idea of them going to a deserted place, taking a boat ride to go do it, always fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus' understanding of the idea of that these guys need some, you know, me time.
Yeah. Well, they've been in spiritual warfare. And when
time.
You're in spiritual warfare, you're going to get physically and mentally and, yes, spiritually tired. And Jesus understood that about his guys. And while they may have thought taking some time off, he's going to be upset with us. No, he himself said, I want you to come apart and rest. I heard someone say it this way, if you don't come apart and rest, you're going to come apart. And we're seeing too many people in the ministry that's happening because they feel guilty for resting. I forget who told this. It may have been John Maxwell. He made the statement, I used to think since the devil never takes a vacation, neither should I. And then I remembered something. The devil is not my role model.
No.
Isn't that good?
It is good. And, you know, a few weeks ago I had Homer's 80, I think he was 86-year-old pastor up in the mountains. He's been pastoring all these years, and he gave me these list of things that really helped him over the years. And what an amazing thing he gave me. But one of my favorites on the list is relax and let God do it.
Yes.
I found that in nap taking and in so many ideas of rest is if I'm trying to hold up the world, right?
Yeah.
Then, you know, I can't rest. Even when I'm sleeping, I can't rest, yeah. Right? Because I'm taking responsibility for that kind of thing. So, you know, that idea of relax and let God do it. Because here's what happens to a pastor. I know I did not know this until I became one. Or, you know, I didn't until I became a senior pastor. Because when our pastor resigned, and all of a sudden, that very night, I found out at the deacon meeting, guess what? You know, that torch, whatever you want to call it, has now fallen on your shoulders. And I went into the sanctuary literally to my knees because I felt something on me that I had never
felt before.
Yeah. The only thing I could connect it to similarly was when my dad died.
Yeah.
When he died and I became the oldest son of the patriarch of the family, there was a similar idea of it, but nowhere near the weight of what I felt that night after that deacon meeting, like, oh my goodness, God,
wow.
I did not see this coming. And so, you know, your pastor has that on him.
Yep.
And I would say just, you know, it's his friend and your friend. You know, one of the things that you can pray is that God will give him a way to take that load off so that he can rest when the time comes
We have too many
come out from underneath that.
Who think that a pastor only works about 40 minutes on a Sunday morning. and nothing could be more false. Because sometimes they're getting their sermon from God at 3 a.m. because he'll wake them up, stir them up, and while you're sleeping, God's telling him things he needs to be working on in the Bible studies to get that very message he wants delivered. And it's one of the longest jobs a man will ever have, being a pastor. It's nonstop. you never know when the phone's going to ring that someone has lost a loved one and needs that pastor, or they're at the hospital, they need that pastor. All of a sudden, someone's knocking on my door saying, I'm leaving my husband. What? And now, all of a sudden, you're in full spiritual warfare of, okay, how do we get this worked out? And calling the husband up, get over here to my house. We got to talk. And I wasn't ready. When that happened one afternoon, I wasn't ready for that. But all of a sudden, I'm fully engaged in spiritual warfare. Our pastors have got to have time to rest, ministers time to relax, refuel.
And every deacon and every, you know, it's all part of the deal. So you brought, for those of us who are on Facebook and YouTube that want to watch this, you brought visual aids along these lines because you wrote a devotional just this morning about this kind of idea.
Well, it was interesting. My verse for the date the word today is 2 Thessalonians 3:13, where Paul says for us to, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Now, the way of the wicked is hard, but there's also a way in which when we're doing good, it becomes hard. So Paul wants to encourage the Thessalonians. He'll say it to the Galatians, don't be weary in doing good. And so one of the things I dealt with way back was people preaching about pastors rusting out, not working hard. They used the analogy of a candle, and they said, I'd rather burn out than rust out. Well, I wrote that down. I'm going to burn out for Jesus. And then I thought, that's stupid. I don't want to burn out. I don't want to be a candle burning at both ends. I don't want to be a candle that burns out. Give me another analogy, Lord. And so today I do, for those who watch it on Facebook, I've got a candle here. And what we know is when I light that up, it burns out, it's gone, never to be seen ever again. On the other hand, I grew up where we had oil lamps, kerosene lamps. And my grandmother taught me early on that it had to be refueled. And I have here the oil. So
how many bottles you got?
Just saying.
You
may have to go buy more, which means sometimes you have to purchase times for relaxation. But for an oil lamp to be refueled, you have to turn off the light. It's a time to pause. And I have taught so many pastors, churches through the years, listen, the pastor has to have a time where that oil lamp is not burning so he can get fresh oil. And as I think about what I want, when I'm sitting at a church with a pastor, I want my pastor to have fresh oil. And another thing I have on my Date the Word app now, we have 7 prayer requests that a person can pray, 1 request a day, Monday through Sunday, where they pray for their pastor. And on Saturday, one of the prayer requests is on Saturday that they'll have their priorities in order, which means their faith is being refueled, their family is being refueled, and their fitness. They're taking care of themselves. So there's a way to pray for your pastor that will help them be better.
And in 2 Kings chapter 4, the famous study, really, of multiplication, where the widow is going to pour oil. But notice what Elisha, sort of a prefigure of Jesus, tells her about how to do that. You're supposed to, similarly, to go in into your closet and shut the front door.
Yes.
Okay, so he tells her, go into your room with your sons after you've collected your empty vessels, right?
Empty
so you got to have empty vessels, and you got to go into this place and shut the door, right? Which is giving you a picture of that whole idea of going into your prayer closet and shutting the door and not allowing all the shenanigans out there so that you can have that one-on-one time to pour your oil because there comes a time that that's going to happen. Yeah. And it's fascinating to me, you know, how Elisha was teaching her. He wasn't just giving her oil so she could pay her debt and get her kids off the hook. you know, so to speak.
Right.
He was giving her a way to take care of herself for the rest
That's
of her life.
Right.
And interestingly, if you look carefully at the scripture, it says, at the end of it, it says, and you're to live off the rest, meaning there's always going to be leftovers. And just like when Jesus fed the 5,000, there were, you know, obviously 12 baskets left. When he fed the 4,000, 7 baskets. And in the same passage in 2 Kings 4, you're going to find every time you got leftovers. Yeah. Well, you got to shut the door and you got to pour your oil, just like the just like Doc says. You got to turn off the lamp if you're going to fill it oil.
Yeah,
I love it.
You have permission to get some rest, my fellow workers. Get some rest.
And let it all go. Thank you for listening today. We are so honored that you spent time with us.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.